The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, the 28th of August, 2019. On the podcast today, Andrew Woolwin, CEO of Big Blue Broadband, BBB's ticker there, highlights their half-year results, which he describes as another period of expansion. Also on the podcast, Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talks about Tizian Life Sciences, Havivo, and Tuple. And as always, I have two lists for you, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs. By the way, if you like any RNS you've seen and you've received from Vox Markets, the company news, of course, then hit that thumbs up button. Because if it hits the top five or top 10, I will cover it on the podcast, and also it'll be on the front page of voxmarkets.co.uk. And other people will start to research as well. So it's a good thing that happens there. So by all means, if you like an RNS, hit that thumbs up button, and it'll get featured on the front page at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Tired of using different sites to research companies? Vox Markets aggregates key financial details, pricing data, and company news into one place. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Andrew Woolwin, CEO of Big Blue Broadband. That's BBB ticker. Andrew, thanks for joining me.
Justin, great to be back on the show.
Now, I'm looking at you've released your half-year results for the 6 months ended the 31st of May, and I'm seeing double-digit percentage growth all over the place in the highlights, so we'll dig into that in a bit. Before we do, as always, if someone's listening for the first time or not familiar with the company, Andrew, can you just explain or summarise Big Blue Broadband? It's a bit of a clue in the title, but what's it all about?
Yeah, we connect people who sit outside the fibre footprint. So, you know, if you've got slow broadband on old, slow wires, basically we come along and we connect you either with satellite or fixed wireless products and give you fast broadband.
Yeah, and I've heard that, Boris Johnson has vowed, isn't he, to get better internet connections across the UK. Before we could dig into the figure, I suppose that's a good thing, is it, or for you, or what?
It is, yeah. I mean, BDUK has made some real changes. And one of the things some of our shareholders will have seen, we've been busy over the summer on our fixed wireless business, Quickline. But BDUK has changed the way they issue grants and subsidies, some very large sums of money, which will be going into that technology. And, the speeds that you can offer on that are 100 meg faster and unlimited products. So very exciting for our fixed wireless part of the business.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's dig into these figures. The financial highlights, 6 months ended 31st of May. Take us through some of the figures there, if you could, Andrew.
Yeah, just really exciting times for us. Revenue is now up over 20% to over 30 million. Like-for-like revenue up over 12%. EBITDA increased over 50% to now 4.3 million. And customer growth over 6% to 119,000. So all of our key indicators that we use at the board level are going in the right way. And mainly that is just the past few years, all of the acquisitions that we did. We 21 acquisitions in the first few years when we came to market. They're all now bedding down and they're all beginning to pay back. So very, very exciting.
So of all those figures there, what do you think is the most telling? Because when you see someone looking, and I know RNSs for people who, don't read lots of RNSs, can be hard to look at. But what's the most exciting thing, what's the most exciting figure, or you think the most telling figure amongst that there?
I think it's the customer growth. And, that is the lifeblood of our company. And, more customers on growing the business. And the reason for that is very, very simple. What we are seeing across Europe and Australia, the product set that we now have, the product is getting faster. And what we're seeing is the sort of introduction of unlimited tariffs. So, yeah, the products that we're offering previously were more like a mobile phone, where you would get a tariff and you would get a set amount of data. Whereas now the product set that we've got is more aligned with sort of traditional broadband that you would see in the UK with BT or TalkTalk. So, anywhere across Europe today, we are offering speeds of 50 meg down for the price of a standard BT bill. And that's what customers have always wanted. And now the product is meeting their expectation.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what's next, Andrew? What's next in the plan? Because you say the plan is working out there. What's going forward? What are you looking at?
Well, in the satellite side of the business, it's very clear. We can see when satellites are launching 3 years in advance. And what we've got is tail end of this year, two big satellites going up, one over Europe. And that is incredibly exciting because that will mean that for the first time ever, we will see, in commercial terms, we will see speeds of 100 meg sitting over countries in Europe. So very, very exciting. There's a launch in December there. And also, we see the first Ka satellite. It's a sort of 4G sort of technology going up over New Zealand. So really exciting. These faster products, new products, new satellites going up over those countries. So we can see that will continue to drive demand. I mean, the stat that is always quoted for us is, you know, there's 20 million households in Europe with speeds less than 4 meg. And that's the key one so that everyone can watch their Netflix and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Okay, well, final thing, Andrew, if someone's liking the sound of your progress but are not following the company as yet, give them those three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox and add you to their watch list, please.
We're a customer demand-led business. You know, people want faster broadband and they want to consume more data. That is happening all the time, and that's what we're delivering. Like any telco or utility business, you know, the majority of our revenue is recurring. And, you know, we think we can outperform this year's expectations.
Mm-hmm. Well, just Andrew, good to chat to you. And no doubt we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks a lot.
Thanks as always.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You're Al.
I'm great, Just. It's just been a fantastic weekend of sport, hasn't it? It's just watching that amazing innings from Ben Stokes at Henley. He single-handedly beat the Australians. Yeah. And just incredible to see world-class bowlers being swatted all over the field as though they were sort of just club level on a Sunday afternoon. You know, it was really, really something to watch.
Yeah,
such a weekend.
Where was I? When was that on? Saturday? I was camping.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, camping.
I did see the pictures of you had a huge fire blazing, I think, on Instagram. So you were sort of obviously out there in the wilds and, you know, cooking whatever you were cooking over an open fire.
Yeah, as you said, out in the wilds, still connected to Instagram though.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, a bit of a contradiction in terms, really. Well, I was doing the same yesterday. It was so hot here in Seaford. We were on the beach, and I said to Annie, I said, we were sitting there. I said, look, you know, no need to go home. Why don't I just nip out, get one of those little disposable barbecues, and we'll just cook up supper here on the beach. So it was great. We were sitting there about 5:30. It was still about 25 degrees centigrade, and we just cooked up a barbecue on the beach. Lovely.
Yeah, we went to the sort of beach yesterday. It's so nice, the weather, I know. We can't get used to it. Well, in fact, I think we probably can get used to it. The way, you know, the climate change is happening, I think we will get used to it. But here we are. Marvellous. Let's get on to stocks.
Okay.
I think the weather's going downhill this week. But what are you looking at, Al?
Okay, well, two life sciences companies to discuss, first of all. We talked about one recently and one early this year. First one is Tiziana Life Sciences. TILS is the epicode. Now, Tiziana have a number of products under development. The two flagship ones are Mishaclib and Forolumab. And the life science technology behind this, it's the only fully human anti-CD3 technology that has been patented and developed, which doesn't have anti-drug immune reactions. So that's very important when you're developing something from human molecules. 90% of the time, and we've seen this with trials in the past, there are side effects. So you think the drug's coming to market, and then, oh no, there have been some some severe side effects. We've got to deal with that, and it takes another couple of years to iron those out. So Tiziana's already jumped those hurdles, and that's the really exciting thing about this company. So it currently has a market cap of 66 million. Shares are traded as high as 148p on the year, as low as 41p. Company announced last month it's just undertaken, it had further data from testing of Mishaclib. 270 cancer patients tested over some 5 years with no side effects at all. Just completed the final phase, which is due in the end of July. Now this is a huge, Mishaclib is used to treat liver cancer, and clearly this is fatty liver cancer in today's world, with increased levels of drinking and everything else. It's a growing issue, and it's a growing challenge for health services worldwide to develop a solution to this. And Tiziana's Mishaclib solution is right at the forefront of this market. It's reckoned that currently there's something like a 21 billion market globally. At the moment, the drug Humira is the biggest, but the problem is with this particular drug: A, it's not, it does have some side effects, and B, the solution is injectable. Tiziana have developed their own patented nasal and oral delivery mechanism, so it's actually far easier to get this into patients. Obviously, as we know with life sciences companies, the steps they're taken towards full approval take many years. But I think it is also reflected in the larger market cap too. But I think the attraction here is that Tiziana has jumped over, it's actually overcome these hurdles. There are no side effects, so it's really on the home run now, all the way through to full approval, and obviously bringing the drug into market as a treatment for all. It's also been independently reviewed by a number of publications. The peer-reviewed journals include Crohn's and Colitis 360, which shows that the oral administered anti-CD3 work with no side effects. So it's had third-party verification. And in my process of picking stocks, that is a key factor, because obviously the test on the company, great, but when you have this third party validation from hospitals, from publications, at different levels, that's incredibly key too. So the company is run by Gabriel Cerrone, the executive chairman. This guy is a biotech entrepreneur. He's a serial biotech entrepreneur. Founded 9 biotech companies, 6 to six have been listed on NASDAQ and 1 to London. We know at this stage now, a number of the big global pharma players are looking at Tiziana. There is more data expected both on Mishaclib and Frolumab in the near future. The company is also undergoing a fundraising in the US with an asset listing. The company has too, so it's a dual listed company. So it's at a very exciting stage. And it's very much on the home run in terms of bringing these crucial drugs to market.
Mm. Yeah, why? Share price not looking very good, is it?
The thing is with life science companies, it does take. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, if you're developing something like this, which is developed from human molecules, and you have a side effect, that effectively sets you back a couple of years. So, the share prices or the share price action of companies in this sector does tend to reflect that. But equally, as you know, as we've seen, we've talked about companies in other areas of biotech, or Itaconix, we were discussing earlier. You know, once those hurdles are crossed, all of a sudden, that valuation is realised, and it'll sort of explode into life, and that's the nature of investing into biotech companies. It's the nature of investing into a lot of smaller companies that are developing a product, or developing a mine, or developing a resource to bring to market. But life sciences there is an awful lot of seeming, or what is you know, seeming inactivity during the period, whereas the fact is that the lab testing is being undertaken, the trials are being undertaken and monitored, and then of course when the data is released, that's the next step for the company. But it takes in many cases an inordinate amount of time. But as I say, Tiziana's already probably 90% of the way down the road towards getting both Michiclib and Frolumab into the market.
Yeah, well, do you know what? If you look at 2015, it was a cracking year for them. They went from 40 pence to £2.40.
Yep.
And then that's the high, come back down, retested that pretty much in 2017. And then all of a sudden, they've gone from, you know, April 2017, they've ground lower, now down to 40 pence, which was the low, which where they started off at. They've rallied to 140, come back to 52 pence, the lower end of their range here. So,
very much so. And again, that's those spikes would relate to steps forward in terms of data, in terms of there's also we've spoken about this before. There is a lifespan to a company, and clearly with life sciences companies, there's some irony given the name. It does take longer to bring these companies to market. So there's an expectation once the company lists and once those milestones are achieved early or when the company says it will be achieved, then that's great. But clearly over the years there have been some delays in developing and getting these drugs over the line and ironing out any side effects. And Tiziana's now done that. So arguably here we are now at as you say, this multi-year low, and the shares look both of the company flagship products are so close to market, and I think in my view, this is one for a punt. It's one you buy if you can buy at this level, great, and you tuck away in the drawer, and if it bursts into life, then away you go. It's
if I want a punt, I'll go to the racetrack.
Yeah, but you know, this company is raising money on the Nasdaq, so it's got a dual listing on the Nasdaq, where there are many biotech companies listed there too, and it's in a good space, and I'm optimistic for Tiziana's chances going forward.
Do you hold any stock in it?
Not currently. I'm looking to buy a block of stock. I've got some funds that are coming available in September, and Tiziana is one of the companies that I'm looking to buy into. But I can't, I physically can't until the money's here. So,
marvelous. Cool. What's next, Al?
It's another life sciences company. So this is Life Science Corner today. This is a company that we spoke about, I think, back in March or April, a company called HVO. HVO is the epic code. Mm-hmm. Again, shares are traded here. They were much higher sort of this time last year.
There's a lot of hype about this, wasn't there? I said, I don't get it at the time, but they've gone nowhere, really, share price, is it? Absolutely flatlined.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Here's another one that's flatlined. Perhaps it's along with Tiziana, symptomatic of the life sciences industry at present. You know, there are a number of products under development, and clearly, it's suffering from the same. Well, both companies are suffering from the same malaise. So, this company's worth less than Tiziana. It's worth 16 million market cap presently. Year low of 18p, year high of 75p, currently trading at just under 20p. So HVO, life sciences company, and again using the human disease model to accelerate drug discovery. The company is focused on an RSV solution, which is the respiratory syncytial virus. It's the only RSV model that's commercially available in the market right now, and there's been a number of anecdotal evidence supporting this particular treatment for RSV. There was a paper published during quarter two 2019 from a company called Enanta, it was noted by the management at HVO, just noting that the results were positive and really underscored what HVO were trying to do. the company has stated, and indeed Trevor Phillips, the chairman, has stated that it's aiming to take back or take the company back to the 100 million market cap it was at early last year as soon as possible. During August, we've seen. This was actually in July. These results were released. A study on the for the respiratory syncytial virus in an older adult population proved highly successful, and as a result, HPV developed an RSV model that now targets specific populations. So it can that they have specific treatments through this through RSV to be able to treat groups of population. That's by age, that's by sex, and everything else. So it's the company is a long way down the road again to getting this into the market. The company has also due to release its interim results on September 19th. So that's 3 to 4 weeks away. And again, given the fact that the stock is, as you say, currently flatlining, this could be a good opportunity to pick the stock up, given that we're at multi-year lows again, for further development and further steps forward beyond September. But certainly, I think with Trevor Phillips at the helm, he's well regarded sort of through the life sciences industry. I think there's every opportunity to
phase it in at the moment? Phase two, one?
No, they're phase two. Phase two.
Still high risk, isn't it? Phase two, very still high risk. And you know what? I'm just looking at the shareholder register here. So first of all, the biggest shareholder is Woodford Investment Management. We know probably not now, he's not. Hang on, have we got any holdings RNS has come out? Because I'm trying to see if he's sold out yet. He hasn't sold out. This is one of the companies he's Invesco is also selling down because they're the last one there. But yet, look at the board, all right? And Trevor, yep. Trevor, the chairman there has 0.04% of shares. James Winchell, who the non-exec director, is 0.09%. Mark Warne, non-exec director, has 0.01%. That's it. Come on, lads.
Yep.
Come on, lads.
Yep.
Well, to be honest, they know how risky it is. So that's probably why they're not putting money in, because it's something like between 3 and 5% of companies go from preclinical through to, phase three completion and successfully, so it's still very high risk. It's less than like your odds are still against here. I think it was like around about just over 50% after phase three, just over 50%. I think on average, if it's cancer drugs, it's lower, but just over 50% make it through phase three. So it's I think it's about 30% or less on phase two and above. So So it's quite high risk still. You know, odds against.
It is high risk. Also worth noting as well that was one thing I want to point out on the when was it on the 9th of July, Jupiter Asset Management, the TR1 issued. Jupiter Asset Management now own 11% of the company from a position previously that wasn't notifiable. So you know that's encouraging. You know.
They are buying out Woodford. I think that's Woodford stock.
Could well be.
So I think that's what's happening there. But yes, because if you look at that day before, he sold shares and they bought shares. So it's basically a swap deal. But they'll dump somewhere, sooner or later. They'll do a deal with some broker to dump. So
It could well be. They've not dumped yet. That was sort of done. That was announced.
Can't sell them, that's why.
You're very cruel, Jeff.
They're just going around all the brokers and say, "Hey, come on, lads! I'm taking the Woodford." I don't know what the Jupiter Asset Manager. Unless they get the stock at a massive discount, I don't understand why they're doing that, because they're just taking on stock. And I read an article a while back saying there's no guarantee they will hold the stock, but I understand. Obviously, for Woodford, he's in trouble. He has to get out of them. So he must be selling them at a discount, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Jupiter Asset Management must be getting them some kind of discount. I don't know what it is, but I'd be interested to know the deals they're doing here. But, yeah, okay, cool. HVO is the ticker.
HVO, yeah,
okay. The New Dragon's Den is out. I'm out on that one, Al.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think again, you know, both companies, you've got to understand the timelines of these. You've got to understand the phases that each company goes through. I mean, certainly for me, Tizian is much further down the road than HVO is, but equally, there are some great people and some experienced people on the boards of both. And you know, when so much has been invested and the company's come so far. I didn't actually mention with HVO, they also have a peptide vaccine offering using mosquito saliva.
Sounds
pretty gross, doesn't it?
How do they get mosquito saliva? Just encourage, just they wind up the mosquito. Hopefully they'll spit at them or something. Skinny little runt, spit at me. Come on, spit. And they just catch the spit. How much saliva does a mosquito produce? You must need millions and billions of them to produce even like a teaspoonful of mosquito saliva.
Well, they probably put them all in a room and shout anti-mosquito chants at them, and they start spitting and collecting that way. I don't know. Yeah. But they've got a joint venture with the University of Maryland and NIH to develop this particular area. So
if I was them, I'd advise them to go for camel spit. They spit a lot more, and there's a lot more volume.
Yes, yeah, I can imagine that.
Of all the animal saliva you can get, it's like mosquitoes is probably the most challenging of all.
Well, they've obviously collected enough to put this JV together anyway. But yeah, that's right. So
I'm just fascinated by how you collect that. How do you collect that? Obviously, it's by glands. I mean, who's it? Imagine having the guy, the new intern. your job is to collect those mosquito spits.
It's hoovering up all this mosquito spit that's on the floor in this room.
There's you and a pipette, that's all you've got. Go in that room there.
On your hands and knees, Sonny. On you go.
And catch a mosquito first, then put the pipette in and just suck it out. Right, cool. Anything else, Al?
Yeah, this is another stock that we've discussed in the past, and a company called Toople, T-O-O-P is the epic code. Okay, so there was great excitement when we first spoke about this. I think the company said, CEO Andy Hollingworth said that the contract wins last year would take the company through to positive cash flow generation without the need to raise any further funds. And of course, that was all set aside on May 28th when the company raised £662,000 at 0.35p. That was also the money that was also used to pay down a loan made by former director Dave Breathe to the company. So that's all now done and dusted. But the company Toople, basically the company provides telecom services. To small, medium-sized businesses, and they've got they've had a pretty sort of dramatic year to date. They've announced $3.5 million in major new contracts during quarter one this year. 9 new partner agreements with UK third parties. They gave us an update in July, just really on the quarter two, which showed over 900 new orders in April, 1,000 new orders in May, and 1,100 new orders in June. That basically represents 250% year-on-year growth, which is obviously impressive. And the company's also opened up a new sales centre in Durban, South Africa. And the net result is that with the increased volume of contacts the company's making, the increased sales force, the actual cost per customer or the cost to acquire each customer is falling. You know, here we are now. The company has a market cap of 3 million, 0.27p is the share price, been as high as a penny on the year, as low as 0.23p. So again, just off this year low. The company, I think, is has worked to get this network of the sales network in place and to develop the business. And I think it's I'm interested to see where we're at the next trading update. And I think we're due a trading update in the next 4 to 5 weeks. And I think it's going to be very, you know, progress at that point at this point is going to be crucial. We want to see just how well the new South African sales team are working and how much they've continued to impact over the summer. And I think if they can show or demonstrate the same growth in sales over July and August, then that's going to be impressive. And I'm sure we'll see some movement north in the share price.
Yeah,
but that's
TOP. Hopefully we get Andy on the podcast because he does come on when they do an update. But like you said, last time he said, I said, why are you doing many updates these days? He said, well, we are a proper sort of business now. We don't need to sort of update the market every 5 minutes. We got revenue. We got, you know, so we just, they'll come on the back of major updates. It's also, we'll be chatting with Andy again soon.
That'll be good.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Al, thanks for that, fella. And we'll catch up next week.
Well, you won't catch up next week just because I'll be away from my son's wedding, but it'll be the week after.
Al, yes, we will. I insist. You come on, dressed in your togs and all that, and just say to your son, excuse me, sorry, I've got to do a very important podcast. You crack on with the service. I'll just sneak at the back.
Sorry, son. Yeah, I'll just do it on my phone. I'll just pop out the back here. Yeah, no, it'll be, yeah.
Well, you just say to him, listen, say, son, with all due respect, you know, you marry several times in your life. The podcast, only one chance to get on the podcast, you know, so let's get the priorities straight here.
Cool. Priorities.
Indeed. All right, marvellous. Well, have a nice time, Al, and we'll speak the week after next then, all right?
Thanks, Jess. All the best. Cheers, mate.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Argo Mining, up 5.1% today, and they've announced they're doing very well, apparently. The return on investment on the extra, you know, blockchain mining machines are being paid back at record rates, exceeding expectations. At four, it's Emporium Group. That's MPM ticker there, up 5.13% as well. Is that the same as Argo? Yeah. At three, Armadale Capital, up 8.93%, announced some news today. At two, Way Education, up 12.4%. Of course, very good trading update. And hopefully we'll catch up with Jackie, the CEO, very soon. There's an article on the front page of Vox Markets, voxmarkets.co.uk. You can read about that. And number one most followed company is Itaconics. It dipped this morning, but it's back up 3.5%. All right, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, it's Way Education, trading statement. At four, Attis Oil and Gas, further contract for all services division. At three, Argo Blockchain. New hardware delivers fast and expected ROI. At two, Tertiary Minerals, holdings in company. Number one, it's Armadale Capital. High-grade assays results demonstrate commercial potential of large graphite project. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciado.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.